Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
The only thing I want to experience is winning a gold medal.
Sitting on the slopes of potential history.
We hit up to 6G forces.
Well, the one thing you can count on is absolutely nothing.
If you can't race yourself, you can't race anybody else.
An all-out fight to the finish.
There's no such thing as can't.
Pushing it till the end, and he's got another gold medal.
We've been obsessed with the Winter Olympics here at The Takeaway. We're glued to the screen, we're checking those medal counts, and overall, you could call us fanatics. And of course, we love our science as well on this show, so we wanted to explore what's going on with some of our favorite events in a much, much deeper sense. The Takeaway presents to you, How Do They Do That? The Winter Olympics edition. We're exploring the physics of the Sochi Games and how the physical world plays a part in everything from triple sow cows to stick saves with our friend Eric Goff. He's chair of the physics department at Lynchburg College and author of Gold Medal Physics, The Science of Sports. So let's start off with speed skating.
Speed skating is probably the one endeavor that human beings do where they self-propel themselves faster than any other way. You could use a bicycle to go faster, but you're getting help. You're getting mechanical advantages through pedaling. The actual act of skating is just you pushing back on the ice. The ice is pushing forward on you, and that is the fastest a human being can self-propel. And the speed records are in the low 30-mile-an-hour range for average speeds. It's incredible how fast you can go while speed skating. You get nice form-fitting suits. These things, even the technology has evolved to thermally bond these things so they don't even have seams. You'll watch the skaters. They'll have their heads down, try to reduce the air drag when they're skating. They'll do all kinds of things like that to reduce air drag. And as I said, I mean, we're getting up to going more than twice as fast as you would speeding in a school zone. It's incredible how fast these skaters are.
But physics isn't just for the racing events. Figure skating is as much Newton's game as its speedier cousin figure skating is.
Figure skating science, much like a lot of these other sports too, but one of the key components that the famous component, I guess, is angular momentum conservation. And this is a law in physics we use when we talk about the inside of atoms. And it's a law of physics we use when we talk about galaxies, you know, swirling around out in space. And if you ever watch usually it's in the finale and you'll see a skater getting ready for that big turn. What the skater will do is put arms out as far as possible, and you'll see one leg out really far, and they're putting as much of their mass out from their axis of rotation as far as they can, and they're getting into a little bit of a slow turn, and then to make themselves go really fast, they pull the arms in very tight, they pull the leg in very tight, they get as much mass concentrated in that vertical axis as they can, and then their spin just starts to go up. Very, very useful law of physics, and it just explains a whole lot of what we see in skating. The men who are capable of really jumping off the ice and can do the quad jump, I mean, they really need to elevate high to turn four times.
Even curling has its own micro-universal facets.
A most difficult attempt, trying to come in off a stone on the outside, trying to get the roll to the stone at the button. They're working on it frantically. There's the contact, there's the roll, she made it!
What's prepared ahead of time is that they will spray some water on an icy surface, liquid water, and when it freezes, it'll be into little textured surfaces so that the ice isn't completely smooth. And that actually helps reduce the friction as the rock is sliding along the ice, because the rock can't make complete contact with the ice. There's not like a vacuum seal that's going on. And after the person will push off the hack and get the rock going, then you have a couple of sweepers ahead of the rock, and they will vigorously be sweeping, and they can actually melt a little water layer, and that helps lower the friction as the rock gets on top of it. They will also spin sometimes one to say four revolutions. You'll see the stone spinning on the way down. They can actually get it to curl with the help of the brooming, so they can knock the opponent's stones out of the house that way.
Now, of course, the events that truly rely on physics to find its champions are the main event. Check out what our ski jumping friends are dealing with.
You got to get your mass up to a certain height. So you're going to convert all this gravitational potential energy that's stored when you get up there into energy of motion, what we call kinetic energy, when you're flying down the hill. And much like a skater, they will get into a position with their head down. You'll see their arms trailing behind them. They're going to reduce their drag as much as they can. And they'll fly down the hill, and about 3/10 of a second, they're going to have this little bowl that they're going to be propelling themselves upward. And what they have to do is get their body into a position, the famous V position, the V style of ski jumping. And you'll see the skis, once they get into the air, the athlete, it's almost like a glider. The skis are going to be very close together, overlapping at the very back of the athlete. And they're going to open up in about a 25 to 30 degree angle. And they're unbelievably flexible. It takes not only an enormous amount of strength and core strength, but enormous amount of flexibility, because they'll get down into about a 7 to 10 degree angle with those skis. They are leaned way over, and they're trying to minimize the air drag, but they're trying to maximize the lift. This is even seen in birds. Evolution's gotten some of the birds to spread their wings apart, so you'll see little gaps in their wings to help them fly. Well, these gaps in the skis are doing the same thing, and they will fly like a glider.
And finally, skeleton, a sport that is inherently based on physical concepts.
The luge, you're going to be face up on your sled, and the skeleton, you're going to be face down. And you're not allowed to use any kind of a steering mechanism. The way these athletes have to steer is using their head and shoulders or their thighs, their leg muscles. They will make little changes in their body movements to get the luge or the skeleton to turn. And you will see them going down maybe 15 turns in all. And in both these particular events, accelerations reach up to about 5 G's. So, you're sitting in your chair, you put a scale underneath you, let's say you're going to feel your weight. Now imagine multiplying that by 5. It's an enormous amount of G-force they're going to feel going around some of those turns. And the speeds are getting upwards toward 90 miles an hour. They are flying down those hills.
Well, there you have it. We hope you enjoyed our latest edition of How Do They Do That? Winter Olympics. I'm Todd Zwillick, and that's your takeaway.